In the 1904 Welsh Revival, there were some ministers from North Wales that went to South Wales to talk to Evan Roberts to encourage him to come to preach in North Wales. And as they were thinking the possibility of him coming, and they said, well, give us some words. Give the words, some words to the believers in North Wales that would stir their hearts for revival. And Evan Roberts thought a few moments, prayed, and he gave them this short message. Remember the blood. Remember the blood. This morning, maybe we'll use as our text is Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. Here we have this scene in heaven. It's revealed by the Word of God on that future day during the tribulation period. And we have this statement. And one of the elders answered and said to me, what are these? Or who are these that are arrayed in white robes? And once came they, and I said unto them, him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. As we think of the passage of Scripture that we read this morning, we recognize that there has always been a lot of confusion between the truth and many times tradition. And in 1 Peter, Peter is writing and reminding them, in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, it says, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain or empty conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, you could even take the religious scene today and you could talk to a bunch of people and they would give you different answers about how you would have your sins washed away. Of course, some people would say that their sins are washed away by the waters of baptism. Some people are going to say, they are going to be redeemed by silver and gold, by the amount of money that they give to God or the worthy causes of life. Certainly, there are many who feel like that they're going to make it to heaven by, you know, good works. That's probably the most common answer today. People thinking that somehow by being good, they're going to get to heaven. And we know that that is so true simply by the answers that people give. And people say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, the person who's hoping to go to heaven is really saying, well, I hope I'm good enough. I hope my good works outweigh my bad. I hope that, when it all comes down, God will be happy with my life and accept me to heaven. You know, that's what people mean when they say hope, that somehow their good works are going to somehow erase their bad. Well, there are a lot of ideas about salvation. Obviously, you'll go places and they will say, well, you know, the key thing is to be baptized by immersion. You know, that's pretty radical. That certainly will get you to heaven. And but we find this great statement in the Bible. The saints in heaven have white robes because the Bible says they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And now it's not talking about a real animal lamb. It's talking about Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God that was slain for our sin. Now, this morning, I want to take a few moments and talk about the great theme in the Bible about the blood. About the blood. The place of the blood of Christ in the Word of God. And as we look at 1 Peter in verse 19, it tells us, 18, it says, you're not redeemed. Now that's a big word. For some people it's a big word, redeemed. Now it's really not too big a word because, you know, you go and redeem your coupons, right? And so it's something that you do all the time, a word you use all the time. But in the Bible, the word redeem refers to buying you and I out of the slavery of sin. That's the word redemption. The Bible pictures you and I as sinners, and we are hopelessly bound by our sin, and our master is sin and Satan. I mean, it's pretty easy to figure that out today. We live in a world in which more and more and more of our society is under the bondage of sin. Whether it's the bondage of alcohol, bondage of drugs, the bondage of gambling, could be the bondage of bitterness, could be the bondage of hate, it could be under the bondage of fear. Everywhere, bondage. People are in bondage. And the Bible tells us that he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. You know, everybody thinks that sin is a free choice, and it is. But it's a lot worse than a free choice. Sin is bondage. It's bigger than any man. And you know, we never sin except we choose to. Now, the devil gives us all sorts of excuses why we choose to. And we have all these reasons in our mind why we choose to. But sin is a choice. It's a choice that we make. Nobody else makes it for us. But when we make that choice to sin, we now become in bondage to sin. Whatever it is. And we are weak and helpless to deliver ourselves from the bondage of sin. And you know, you look at the cross section of America today, and the sad thing is you could probably go to the most put together situations in life, and if you go behind the scenes, you'll find people in all sorts of bondage, all sorts of addictions, and helpless, you know. Oh, Might look good on the outside, but reality is way different. The word redemption has to do with the fact that when we sin, we now become, and because we are sinners, we are owned by the worst slave master ever. That's the devil. And he's bigger than us. And the sin is bigger than us. And the only one that can deliver us from sin and Satan's bondage is Jesus Christ. But there's a particular payment that is required. A particular payment that is required to pay the price to deliver us from the slave market of sin. And the Bible tells us. It says, redeem, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Now, as you think of the Bible, one of the things that you need to think about when you think of the Bible is that one of the great themes of the Bible, the great truths that most escapes most people. We're going to have a called Vacation Bible School, and the theme is hidden treasures. Hidden treasures. And we're going to talk about hidden treasures. And it's going to be a great theme. It's going to be a lot of fun teaching the Bible. And I hope that you'll come. And we'll have Mornings for Moms, and we'll be teaching the lessons in Mornings for Moms. But, what's one of the treasures in the Bible that most people don't know it's there? They read the Bible. They don't even know that it's there. They read it, and they read it, and they read it, and never figured it out. And one of those hidden treasures is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, think about this. It tells us that it was determined before the world began, before God created the world, it was determined in heaven that God was going to have to send Jesus and take on human flesh. Because he knew that man was going to sin. And man would become the servant of sin and a child of sin and owned by the devil and would not be able to deliver himself. And so that Jesus Christ would be the Son of God, the God-man, and the perfect God-man would shed his blood as the payment for our sin. The payment of our sin. Think of the sacredness of this great truth, the blood of Jesus Christ. God the Son would have to take on human flesh. And his blood would have to be shed as the payment to deliver us, the ransom price. You see, if you're kidnapped, they ask for a ransom price, don't they? Right? You get kidnapped, got to pay the ransom. If someone wants to get you free, right? And the Bible tells us, that person who has become our master is sin and Satan. And the only way that we can be delivered out of his bondage is by paying the ransom price. And the ransom price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at, take a couple minutes here and look at that great theme through the Bible. So let's go to Genesis 3. And let's start right there and see this great theme. Genesis 3, Adam and Eve have sinned. Adam and Eve have sinned, and now the Lord God is speaking to the devil and giving the curse of sin upon the devil, and in the midst of it is telling what's going to happen to the devil, who's going to defeat the devil. And we'll look at verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, that's the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head. And thou, he's talking to the devil, shall bruise his heel. Thou shalt bruise, you, it shall bruise thy head. This is the promise of the Messiah. This is the promise of the Redeemer. Now, I don't think you can get too much earlier than that in the Bible, can you? Man has fallen, and the Lord says, from the seed of the woman, you're going to get a head bruise. In other words, a deadly wound. You are going to be defeated. Now, in the process, you're going to bruise his heel. And if you want to just put that in context, yes, Jesus died, but he rose from the dead. And he died to pay the penalty of our sin. And when he paid our penalty of our sin, he doomed Satan and delivered us from sin and death. By the purchase of, by the shedding of his blood on our behalf. You know, right here, blood. Blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God. Predicted before the foundation of the world. His blood was going to have to be shed. He was going to have to be wounded. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. Now, it's interesting. Later on in the chapter, there's more blood. In chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam and to his wife did God, the Lord God, make coats of skins and clothe them. Alright? Now, we have very simple realization. God told Adam and Eve, when you ate the fruit, that day you'll die. But then he told them that through the seed of the woman, Satan would be defeated. Adam put it all together. Oh, my wife is going to live, and through her, the Messiah is going to be born. And the Bible says he called his wife's name Eve. Now, I don't know if he got saved the moment he called his wife's name Eve. But he called his wife's name Eve, which means the mother of living, when she was really the mother of dead. Because he believed the promise of God. And now notice what happens. And so, the Bible says, unto Adam and to his wife, the Lord God made coats of skins. Now, how do you get a coat of skins? You have to kill an animal, don't you? Remember, Jesus was foreordained to be the Lamb of God, whose blood was to be shed for our sins. And so right here in the garden, God kills an innocent animal, sheds its innocent blood, so Adam and Eve can be covered with robes of righteousness. It was the blood. Now, let's go a little bit further in the Old Testament. Let's go to a couple interesting places. Let's go to Joshua chapter 4. Now, you're certainly going to think this is a stretch, but if you really put the Bible together, it'll probably make sense someday. Actually, it's not 4. It's chapter 2. Israel is going to go into the promised land. And they get into the promised land. They're on the other side of the promised land. They send some spies. And, you know, they go to Rahab's house. And she protects them. She believes that they're the people of God, believes that God is going to destroy their city, and that their God is the true God. And in the providence of God, she lets them down, escape the city by a rope made of red whatever. And the spies say, now, when we take the city, bring all your family into your house. And everybody that's in your house is going to be saved from the destruction of the city. But we won't know, the soldiers will only know that it's your house if you have a section of this red rope hanging from the window. And so, he said, verse 18 of Joshua 2, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever will be with thee in the house, his blood will be on our head, if any hand be upon the him. Now, it's very interesting that a red rope in the window. A red rope. Now, you might think this is stretching it, but I think that red rope was a picture of their faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. Egypt, Israel is in Egypt. And Pharaoh won't let him go. And remember, it's the same picture. It's a picture of 2 million people in slavery. And the master won't let them go. And the master is Pharaoh. And finally, God says there's going to be one last plague. And it's called, we call it the plague of the Passover. And he institutes it here in Exodus chapter 12. And it says, verse 3, speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man take unto you his eating shall make your count for the lamb. In other words, if you have 20 people, well, that might be all you can feed with a lamb. You know, if you only have 5 people, maybe you're going to have to bring your neighbors over to your house. So you have enough people to eat that whole lamb. Okay. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the 2 side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw or sodden with all water. Verse 10, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. Verse 11, and ye shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hands, and ye shall eat it in the haste, it is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. All right, here is the Passover. And what is the token of their faith in the living God and his deliverance? What is the token? Blood. Blood on the doorpost. We belong to God. We're his children. We believe in his deliverance. It was the blood. And of course, you know, in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Passover. He's called the Passover Lamb. John the Baptist, when he announced Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It was the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross that was the payment, the ransom price of our sin. So throughout the Old Testament, we have the blood. The blood. We have the offerings. And we'll just look at one little phrase there in Leviticus chapter 1. The blood. We have the blood in the offerings. Leviticus chapter 1, may I say this? The tabernacle in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us, was a pattern of the things in heaven. You know, someone was talking to me recently and they said, you know, they're witnessing this person. They said, you say there's only one way to heaven. And, but we're in Maquonago. How many roads are there to Milwaukee? And of course they were saying, well, there's many roads to Milwaukee. And they were trying to say, well, there's many roads to heaven. Well, the fact is this. The heaven of the Bible is the very presence of God. And that very altar in heaven and the way to heaven was pictured for the people of God in the tabernacle. And the Bible tells us that the tabernacle was built after the pattern of things in heaven. We'll get there maybe in Hebrews chapter 8 and 9. And that tabernacle required the blood of an innocent lamb. That was the payment for sin. And we'll read that throughout the book of Leviticus. But I thought it'd be good just to read a couple of verses. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. In other words, your offering is going to be a blood offering. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle. Verse 4, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priests, Aaron's sons, and shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Going to take the blood. Now he says, you take that animal, you bring it here, you put your hand on the head of that animal as a picture that animal is being slain instead of you. And a picture of your sin being put upon that animal. And you have to take and you have to slash the throat of that animal. That's kind of a terrible thing, but you know, sin is pretty terrible. And sin is awful. And sin is costly. And it's ugly. And a life has to be given for our sin. And that beautiful lamb was a picture of Jesus. That his life had to be offered for our sin. And here we have the blood. We can go through the whole Old Testament. Blood, 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 blood. You know, how is it that people go to the New Testament and they say water, 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 water? You know why? Because they don't know the Bible. Blood, 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 blood. It was the blood that was to be paid for our behalf on the cross. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 now, as we think of this. This blood is the sacred blood. It's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. this blood is the theme of the Bible in the prophecies, in the types, in the pictures of the whole Old Testament. It's all about the blood that was going to be slain for our sin. In Hebrews chapter 9, it tells us in verse 12. Well, I guess we go back to verse 11. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, a tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. He's saying, now Christ, his tabernacle, his tent, his temple, isn't one made with hands. It's in heaven. And it says, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then if you look at verse 22, it says, in almost all things are by the law, that's the Old Testament law, purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so here we have the New Testament fulfillment. That the Old Testament, they brought their offering to the temple, to the tabernacle, which was a type of Christ. It was a picture to the people of how they could only approach God with a substitute. But now the real Lamb has come. Jesus. The real Lamb has come. And he's paid the price of our sin. And you know the picture is that Jesus himself, he went to heaven and presented his blood as the payment for our sin before God the Father. Now, as we think about that blood, not only will we say that it's sacred, and not only is it foreshadowed, but it is sufficient. Notice it said, it says that he, by his own blood, entered once into the holy place. This is Hebrews 9:12. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's sufficient. Not many times had to be done, but once. One time. He enters into the presence of God with a token of his blood, and our eternal redemption has been purchased. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about that, think about the application of that. In Hebrews chapter 10. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, Jesus, who shed his blood on behalf of our sin, shall he appear the second time without sin. Without sin. Chapter 10, verse 14. It says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their mind will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. His blood is sufficient, but his blood now is also saving. It's the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I like to put it this way. If you're an accountant, you know, you have a debit column and an asset column. Maybe I have it on the wrong side of the page because I'm not an accountant. Okay? But you have the asset, the debit side, and it's all sins. And we don't really have any assets because, you know, we're sinners. Even the good that we do is tainted by our sin. And so, we stand before God with all this sin. We can't free ourselves. We're in bondage. It's only Jesus that can wash away our sins. And the Bible tells us, how is that sin washed away? The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. I'm trying to make it practical, but how does that work? It works like this. When a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, the moment that they do, God the Father applies the blood of Jesus to their account, and all their sins are washed away at that minute. At that moment. The moment of faith alone in Christ. Faith. Now, think about this. God told the people of Israel, you have to kill this lamb and have to shed its blood. But killing the lamb and shedding its blood, would that save them from the death angel? Would it? Nope. It was sufficient to do it. But if that's all they did, it wouldn't save them. What'd they have to do? They had to take the blood and they had to put it on the doorpost, didn't they? Of their house. You see, the blood had to be applied. And the blood is applied by personal faith. Personal faith. Now, I don't know. Maybe there were some Egyptians some of the Israelites that said, nah, that's not going to work. I don't believe that. They didn't know anything about the gospel. They didn't know about the Savior's going to die. They knew nothing about the theme of the blood in the Bible. And they, that's foolish. I'm not going to do it. And so guess what happened? They didn't put it on their doorpost. And that night, what happened? Firstborn died, didn't they? Death angel didn't pass by. But those Israelites who recognized what this all meant, and they decided that by faith they're going to apply the blood to their door, that night death angel passed by. So we see there's two parts to this. There is a personal part, a personal application, and there is a divine application. The personal application is that the blood of Christ has been shed for your sin and for mine. But a person has to personally, by faith, apply that truth to their soul and by faith trust Christ as their Savior and their Lord, and that His blood was paid, was sufficient to wash away all their sins. It has to be personal faith. It has to be a moment of faith, a decision of faith, a turning in faith to God. And there's also a divine application. When a person makes that personal application of faith, then God in heaven personally acts. God in heaven applies that blood to that personal account of sin. And the sin is washed away. And so, as we read at the very beginning, who are these? These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, we live in a day in which a lot of people mock God. You know, it is surprising how many people now who have a Christian background, so-called, are Buddhists. Or spiritualists. They'll say, well, I just believe in the spiritual. You know? Whatever. How many are trusting their good works to get them to heaven? How many are trusting their church to get them to heaven? But there's only been one provision made for our sin. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. And when a person puts their faith, their true faith in Jesus Christ, their sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. You say, how do you know? How do you know it happens? The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know, there's a miracle, two miracles, more than two miracles that take place when you put your faith in Christ. The guilt of your sin is gone. You know what? You couldn't pay a psychiatrist $5 million to get rid of the guilt of your sin, could you? Can't do it. But when a person puts their faith in Christ, the guilt of their sin is taken away. Why? Because their sin has been forgiven. And the Bible says that being justified by faith, we have peace with God because our sin problem has been taken care of. And now we have a relationship with God. And God now is our Father, and we are His children, and we have a relationship with Him. Well, it's the blood. You know, I dare say in heaven, everywhere you're going to see the token of the blood. All these white robes, it's because they've been made white with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's two shouting terms here. One is, have your robes been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have they been washed? Do you know it? The other is this. Is that blood that washes away our sin also cleanses us from sin? The Bible says in 1 John 2, 1, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, everyone needs the blood of Christ to wash away their sins, to make them a child of God, to deliver them from Satan. But every believer also needs the blood of Christ in their daily life. Every believer needs the blood of Christ in their daily life. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if you're here today and you've been trusting in something other than the blood of Jesus Christ, there's good news. The penalty has been paid. It's all done. God's wrath has been satisfied. His blood's been shed for you and I. If we'll turn from our sin and we'll turn to Jesus Christ and put our faith in Him, He'll wash away our sins. But you know, in life, we live in a wicked world. And we come in contact with sin often. And the defilement of that sin is real. It affects our mind, it affects our heart, it affects our will. But Jesus' blood can cleanse us from sin in a daily basis. Are you clean today? Are you clean today? Have you let the blood of Christ, has the blood of Christ washed your robes? Made them white in the blood of the Lamb? As a believer, are you here today and say, you know what? I'm clean. I'm just as clean as can be because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. When we confess it and forsake it and depend upon Jesus Christ to lead us in our life. Are you clean today? That's the most important question. How sad. There were some in Egypt that said, oh, that's phooey. I don't believe that. And they didn't put the blood on their doorposts. But you know, those who said, I understand what this is all about. And they made that decision in faith. And I'd encourage you today to make that decision if you could. Let's close in prayer as we close. Lord, we thank You for the Lord Jesus. We thank You for what He did on Calvary's cross. We thank You for the complete payment of our sin in the Lord Jesus. And now I pray that, Lord, that each one who is here would understand this great truth of the blood of Jesus Christ was the complete payment for our sin. And for those who know Him not, and they're trusting the wrong thing, might they turn and trust the Lord Jesus and Him alone. And now, Lord, I pray for each believer that is here today, that it's been a while since they really confessed their sins. And the defilement of sin has taken them away from You. Might they come back to the Lord Jesus, whose blood, even today, is sufficient to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.